I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall be always on my lips. My soul shall glory in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad.
Hello, my friend. It's Dan Riley joining you again and inviting you to take a little time with me and others who are enjoying the opportunity to step aside from other things and take a little time in reflection. You might think, well, it's quiet at the mountain. Well, you might hear the wonderful sound, the incredible sound of rain right now outside my room as I begin this podcast. It's pouring, and it has been for a while. As I close the door a little bit for just a tad more quiet here, I'm aware that the sound of the rain is beating on the deck beside me, outside my room, and indeed on the roof, and making all the wonderful different types of timpani noises it does as it lands on trees and leaves around this beautiful little hermitage, La Paz. So I join you from a place of peace, but also with many voices going on, and without reading it now, but maybe another time, a favorite passage of mine is from Thomas Merton's book, essay, regarding his movement to the hermitage through a cornfield in the middle of a rainstorm, through a cornfield up to his hermitage. And it's quite a striking passage because we feel the movement into quiet, but the ongoing voice of rain. And he invites us to listen to it. For me, it's the transition into the way in which we listen. And I made a reflection the other day that it's striking me that we not only listen with our ears, but we do with our eyes. Our whole body wants to be attentive, deeper sense of listening, to be obedient, to be open to the movement of life that we would respond to in what we're hearing, what you and I are hearing right now. And it's not only through our ears. We might say the pores of our very selves, our permeability as a human being in the world, at times is bombarded by things as this would be if it were a pounding rain, but it's a beautiful pouring rain. And it has a bit of a quality of insistence about it, but also it seems to me in its bold rainness a little bit of presence, believing that it has a message from my heart and yours. As the gospel is, it remains insistent and talks to us, and Jesus in the gospel this Sunday is just pouring out his love like the rain that will not end. He had gone off, disembarked after trying to find a quiet place with a crowd arising. His heart is moved with pity for them. And he cures their sick. And then evening hour comes on, and you might remember the passage from Matthew 14, 13 to 21. And in a deserted place, while it's already late, his friends are saying, dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food. And Jesus, like rain that just starts all of a sudden but won't let up, he insistently says to them, there's no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves. Or in another translation, simply said, feed them yourselves. And now here we are. And at least as I listen to it, it's not only a Lord who's being insistent with us, nor is it a type of command that's oppressive, but within this, feed them yourselves. You can give them some food, is this acknowledge of you can do it. Jesus' heart is moved in pity, but I think for all of us, his compassion is deep, and his acknowledgement, I think, probably like his own experience of being challenged by the many who needed him, was to find a source, a well, a a rain, a lively water, a sustenance, a cool pool, a food for others deep within him. In fact, we know, those of us who celebrate it, that Christ is our daily bread, our food. And the simple instruction here, though, is feed them yourselves. In other words, there are people around you who need your food. Don't send them away. And a movement from here that's quite striking to me is that after he says, bring them to me, when they're apprehensive about this, there's a little bit of uncertainty. Does he mean the people or the food? And I think both, because he said, what's around here? And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And in the midst of this crowd, it seems like bring the food and the people closer. I think there's a wonderful intimacy that we're invited into and that we invite others into when we begin to see their need. And when we begin to feel we can do it, that within us and the gifts we have, we can heal, care for, begin to attend to others, see them, hear them, their very needs and who they are. Enter into us, not only through our ears and eyes, but to our very heart, like Jesus's, moved. Pity isn't a helpful word in our time, but it means a pious turning in a heart, an alertness, a compassion. And so when we begin to realize that we can feed them ourselves, we are willing, as Jesus instructs us, then bring them near. We enter into a relationship with those who need us and to that which with we might feed them, ourselves, our activities, our food, possibly a donation of money, whatever it is that begins to revive the person that's near us and around us. We can do it, and we bring them here. We draw them into ourselves so that they're no longer faceless, nameless, without relatedness. But because these times are times of reflection, and this is right now, I think we can feel Jesus doing that with us. He had drawn aside, sort of stepped away from a lot of activity, and then the crowd was with him again. And rather than turning his back, he turns his eyes and ears and his heart open to their need. And again, like a good teacher, models what we might be doing, which is quieting our own needs, knowing them, sensing them, and sensing the needs of the world. It's a deep movement of contemplative compassion, compassionately, contemplatively being present to the world. Not one of withdrawal, not just saying, hey, head out to the local deli and get your own sandwich, but an acknowledgement that we have something to care for them with, some food with us. And then the movement in this gospel that's not to be missed, but it seems to me in so many ways in our world is primary. Now let's count what's left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So now we get a chance to maybe count them a little bit, look over the crowd and say, who else is here? And they picked up the fragments left over, and it was 12 wicker baskets full. Abundance. Again, my sisters and brothers, in the midst of my ambivalence about caring for others is abundance. And not first the things of the world, but the love given to us in our hearts when we draw aside like this. It might have just been a half hour ago that a crying child asked us by its very disposition, can I go on? Do I have it within me? Or a tough work day, and it seems that things are beyond me right now. But rather, somehow the response is within us. You can do it. Bring it on. Bring them here. And then in our ability, our attempt to care for those around us and the needs that are presented to us, we will find again abundance. God will give us all we need. It sounds pious, and I know in the problematic world that I find myself passing through and in the midst of at times, I get stuck right there, and that's why we're here in a contemplative moment. listening to Jesus, who was tired at the end of his day when that evening came and the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place. What are all these people doing here? Get ready. Dismiss them." And then we find it in our hearts, food up our sleeves, and abundance amidst us, of compassion, if not of food, abundance of care, if not something else we can count on. My friend, take a few moments away from and within your busy world, and feel not so much the command as the covenant, the commitment of Christ to be with you and me in our times of need, and in the midst of needs of others, and not counting what we can give, we contemplatively find abundance with us now. It's raining outside, it's pouring down. And refreshing the earth. May your life be refreshed at this moment as we share this moment of peace. Greg Lecamelli and I just delight in being able to share these times with you. And Greg and I have talked recently about how they seem to be helpful. And thank you for passing them on to others if you find this reflection helpful. And remember Greg's little daughter, Alyssa. She's one more who celebrated a birthday this weekend. Praise God for life, for our life, the abundance of life. The Lord give you peace.
I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall be always on my lips. My soul shall glory in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad.